It's a blessing to God. He's grateful to see His children gather together to worship and to study from His Word. Your two sons have taught you well as a song leader. We appreciate that. Good song service tonight. Glad to see the brethren from the area here. We appreciate always the opportunity to see good friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. All of us are familiar with the account of the conversion of Lydia. We've read it, we've heard it preached on many, many times. The account is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And if you'll open your Bibles there, we want to review one more time this very familiar story about the conversion of Lydia. We're going to read a few verses from Acts chapter 16, beginning in about verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things that were spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. There are some things about this story of conversion that are unlike any other conversion in the Bible. Now, I hasten to say it's not different because she was taught a different gospel. It's not different because she was saved in a different way than the other conversion stories. But the circumstances surrounding this story in some ways are unique. Here's one of the ways that it's unique. There is no recorded sermon. All it says is that the Lord opened her heart to the things spoken by Paul. When you look at the other conversions in Scripture, beginning in Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached the resurrected Christ for the first time on the day of Pentecost, we have a complete sermon recorded there. Peter reminds them that their own prophets and that the Old Testament Scriptures told them about the coming Messiah. King David, whom they loved and revered, told them about the coming Messiah. You were there. You saw Him. You heard Him speak. You saw Him perform miracles. Therefore, based on all of the evidence, know for assuredly that Jesus has raised this Christ because He is the Son of God. And when they heard that, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they were told to repent and to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That sermon can be preached anytime, any place, proving who Jesus Christ is, the Savior of the world, and that through obedient faith, including baptism for the remission of sins, we can have the promise of salvation. In Acts chapter 3, you remember the story of Peter and John as they passed by the lame man who was asking for alms. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but I'll give you what I have." And he told him to arise and take up his bed and walk, and he did. And the recording of the sermon there is that the speaker used the account of the healing of the lame man to promote the power of Jesus Christ. This wasn't done by us. This was done in the name of Jesus Christ. Who is Christ? The Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so we have recorded there a good part of the sermon that was preached. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 48, we all remember when Peter went into the house of Cornelius. We remember that sermon. Peter declared unto them that he now understands, because the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon them, that God is no respecter of persons, and that the gospel is for everyone, for all mankind. And he demanded that these people be baptized for the remission of sins. We have another pretty good sermon. Now, there are times when we don't have the entire sermon, but at least we have some idea of what was preached. You remember in Acts chapter 8 when Philip joined himself to the chariot of the eunuch. And he was reading from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. He didn't understand. And so the Bible says, Philip began at the same place, and notice, and preached unto him Jesus. Doesn't record what he said, but what he said was about Jesus. Now here in the account in Acts chapter 16... none of that. No sermon. No synopsis of a sermon. It doesn't even tell us what was said. Simply that it was things spoken by Paul. Makes it different from all of the other conversions in Scripture. The second thing that makes it different is that here we have preaching and teaching by committee. It wasn't like Peter, one man standing up on the day of Pentecost and declaring the resurrected Christ. It wasn't like Philip, one man teaching one-on-one in the chariot. It wasn't like Peter in the household of Cornelius. He had been sent there in order to preach to them about God. Here we have a group of men involved in the teaching. Who is part of this party? Notice it said when we began reading in verse 9, when you drop down to verse 10, it says, "And we sought to go to Macedonia." The Lord had called us to preach the gospel. Now, who is that? Who is in this party that is on that riverbank speaking to Lydia? We'll go back to the book of Acts, chapter 15. Begin in verse 36. "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go now back to visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take them with him. The one had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. The contention became so sharp that they parted one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Verse 16, he came to Derbe. Now, who is with Paul? Silas. Paul and Silas. And on their journey, they travel to Derbe and Lystra. Acts 16 and verse 1. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him to go with them. He took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Notice verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decree to keep. Who are they? Well, it's Paul, it's Silas, and it's Timothy. But now notice what happens in verse 10 of Acts chapter 16. It's they. And now all of a sudden in verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. And we were called by God to preach. Now we know Paul and Silas and Timothy, but all of a sudden, who is we? Well, we is Luke. How do we know that? Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 1, the first four verses. He talks about the writing that he had done, about all that Christ had done up until that time. Now jump to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. And he says, the former treatise which I wrote, O Theophilus. It's Luke. Doesn't explain where he came from. God doesn't try to tell us what kind of travel Luke had to do to get there. He's just there. It was Paul, it was Silas, it was Timothy, and now Luke, the author of the book of Acts, is with them. Now, in other places, when we have the conversion, there was one person responsible for the preaching and teaching. It was Peter. It was Paul. It was John. It was one of the other preachers. It was Stephen. But now notice, we got the Macedonian call. Verse 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we, who's we? Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. We ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis. From there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. Notice, and on the Sabbath day, we, those four men, went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And notice, we sat down and spoke to the women who were there. Who did the preaching and the teaching on the riverbank at Philippi? Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. It's unusual in Scripture to have a committee or a group doing the preaching and teaching at the same time. Now, it appears in verse 14 that Paul was probably the primary speaker Because it says, a certain woman named Lydia, who does she hear? Us. What does that tell us? We all must have spoken, correct? She heard us. We were there having a discussion about God. She heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart, how? To heed the things spoken by Paul. It's an unusual conversion because there's no recorded sermon. It's an unusual conversion because it was preaching by committee. Even though it appears that Paul was the spokesperson at the time when Lydia was converted. Here's a third thing that makes it unusual, and that's the place, the setting. It wasn't the synagogue. It wasn't the temple. It wasn't the marketplace. It wasn't the city. It wasn't in somebody's home. It was down by the riverbank. Down by the riverbank. On Sunday morning, during Bible class, when we began our gospel meeting, we studied from Luke chapter 5. And we talked about the things that we could learn from that lesson where Jesus got into the ship that belonged to Simon and sat out a little bit from the shore and spoke to all of the people. And part of the things we learned from that message was anywhere we are can become our pulpit. It can be a barbershop. It can be a grocery store. It can be a restaurant. It can be Walmart. It can be anywhere we have an opportunity to meet people. And that's what happens here. It's a unique place. It's not a place that you ordinarily would plan to go in order to preach and teach the gospel. Where was Paul most often on the Sabbath day? In the synagogues. Why? Because he knew the Jews would be gathered there. Why on this day did they go out to the riverbank instead of the synagogues? Well, we'll find out in just a few moments. But why is this conversion different than others? There's no recorded sermon. It was preaching by committee, and it was on the riverbank. And here's the fourth thing. The audience was all women. Now, I'm not reading anything into that, and I'm not intimating anything by that. I'm just reading Scripture. There's no place else in Scripture that talks about a conversion where everyone in the audience were women. So this makes this a unique conversion. In verse 13, we spoke to the women who met there. All right, it's an unusual conversion. No recorded sermon, preaching by committee, the place is unique, and the audience is all women. Now, what about the conversion itself? What does that teach you and me? Whether we are Christians or not, whether we are someone looking for the truth or we are already children of God looking for strength, what can we learn from this conversion of Lydia? The Bible says in verse 12, that they were in Philippi. And Philippi is called the greatest city or the foremost city in Macedonia, a colony. Now that little word colony says a great deal about the area in which Silas, Paul, Timothy, are preaching. What was a Roman colony? It meant that it was an outpost of the Roman government. There was a garrison there filled with Roman soldiers. The court system would have been located there, where the Roman law would have been enforced. It was a place of great prominence because the Roman emperor had chosen it as a place to be a Roman colony. And Lydia, a woman, is there. It says, verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Notice, she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. Two things that are interesting there. She was a seller of purple. Purple is the color of royalty. Because that area was a Roman colony, would there be a lot of officials, government officials, wearing purple? Yes, there would be. So she is a businesswoman, an intelligent businesswoman. She has gone to an area to market something that was very popular because it was a Roman colony. It says she was from Thyatira. That's in Asia Minor. And it's about 600 miles. Now today, in our society, it's not really a big deal for a woman to be an important business person, to get on an airplane by herself and fly 600 miles or 800 miles or 1,000 miles in order to transact business. That's kind of common today. But in this day, it was not common at all. It was not common, first of all, for a woman to be in business. And a lot of scholars believe that Lydia was a proselyte, that she was not a Jewish woman, that she was probably a Gentile woman who had been converted to the Jewish religion. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But why the scholars believe that is, it would have really been unusual for a Jewish woman to be in business and to be traveling by herself with only her household. That is, the people who help her in business. So she's from Thyatira, 600 miles away. She's a woman who is in a business supposedly prosperous, who has come to an area to market a product that would be well accepted because of the Roman colony. But here's another thing it says. There was no synagogue at Philippi. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? If this woman who had been either converted or born into the Jewish religion, she would have been at the synagogue because it was the Sabbath day. Is that not right? Why didn't she go to the synagogue? Because they didn't have one. This is a Roman colony. There are very few Jewish people living in Philippi. It was the law under the Old Testament way of doing things, and a lot of tradition too, that there had to be 10 male Jewish people in a location in order to build a synagogue, a place of worship. She is worshiping God as a Jew, not in the synagogue, very probably because there was not a synagogue. Now let me ask you a question. What can you and I learn from this about Lydia? Well, Lydia wanted to worship God, and business did not interfere with her worship. Business did not interfere with her worship. Travel, did not interfere with her worship. Inconvenience did not interfere with her worship. It would have been very easy. Well, there's no synagogue. I can't worship. I'm tired. I've traveled 600 miles. I don't feel like worshiping. It's inconvenient. She did not allow those things to keep her from worshiping God. And yet, you and I both know people that won't come to services if they even think it's going to rain. And we know for a fact that people who are too tired to come to worship services on Sunday get up and go to work on Monday morning. Don't we know that? You think God doesn't know that? He does. What lesson do we need to learn from Lydia? Well, wherever I am, I need to be worshiping God. And on the Lord's Day, I need to be with God's people worshiping God. Notice it said, we went to the riverfront where customarily prayers were being made. Why? There's no synagogue. And people just kind of find one another, and it appears that somehow this riverbank is that gathering place. And so they go there and they find this woman named Lydia. Probably prosperous. Not afraid to travel. Not afraid to make decisions for herself. And she doesn't allow outside circumstances to keep her from worshiping God. Brethren, you and I can learn a lot from this lady. Hebrews 10:25, we're told, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And yet, it doesn't take a lot for us to find a reason that we can't go. I spent a good part of the day transporting one of our elderly members from Berea to Lexington, where he got a shot into his hip. 8 months ago, he fell, broke his hip and his right leg. Massive surgical repairs. The bones are healed, but he's having terrific pain in that leg. They believe now that the pin that attached the hip moved before it healed, and he's having a lot of pain. So he went there today to be injected. It's one of those shots where they have to put it under some kind of a television scope where they can watch the screen and make sure the needle is getting in the right place. You know what, Brother Combs is his name. You know what, more than anything else in the world he would like to do is to go to church and worship God. He misses it. He wants it. He longs for it. He cries about it. We pray about it. Oh, he watches the sermons on television. He gets tapes. He watches the Mac Lyon program. But what he would like to do is to be able to come into the front door of the building and be with the saints. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our brothers and sisters have that attitude? That's where I want to be. I don't go because I have to or I'm supposed to or I don't want the preacher talking about me or the elders visiting me. I'm going to be there because I'm a child of God and I want to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We can learn from Lydia. She didn't understand about Jesus, but she was a worshiper of God, and her business did not interfere with that. Her travel did not interfere with that. Inconvenience did not interfere with that. All of those lessons that you and I can learn. But verse 14 says something interesting about Lydia. Even though she worshiped God, the last part of that says, the Lord opened her heart. Now what does that tell us? If the Lord opened her heart, that her heart was closed. Is that not right? Now, how could her heart be closed because she worshiped God? Even though she was far from home, she sought a place to worship God. Even though she had business to conduct, she sought out a place to be with God's people, and yet the Bible says her heart was closed. It doesn't appear to be closed because of any immorality. It's not mentioned. It's certainly not closed because she has an indifferent attitude about God. She's gone to great extremes in order to show her worship to God. Well, why is it then that this woman's heart was closed? Because she had not been properly taught. And a lot of our friends are just like Lydia. They worship God in their way. They have a faith and a trust in God. They really desire to be with God. But their hearts are closed because they have never opened themselves to the truth. And so it says, when Paul spoke these things, whatever these things are, her heart was opened. And when her heart was opened, what did she do? She was baptized. Now, what do you suppose Paul, in speaking these things, said to Lydia? Do you think he said anything about baptism? Well, if he didn't, why was she baptized? If Paul hadn't mentioned it, how would she have known anything about it? I wonder, when it says Paul spoke these things and her heart was opened, I wonder if these things might have been what he spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the first four verses. When he reminded those Corinthians that I have preached unto you the gospel of Christ, which you received, wherein you stand, and whereby you will be saved, if what? If you remain faithful. You suppose Paul used any of that message when he talked to Lydia? What about when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost and he declared that Jesus truly was the Christ, Savior of the world, who had been raised from the dead by the glory of God? And therefore those people were told to repent, to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Do you suppose when the Bible says here that Paul spoke these things that he might have used some of that material? I think so. In Romans chapter 6, the question is asked, beginning in verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Christ?" We're baptized into His death. "That we have been planted in the likeness of His death, and therefore we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. That at the time of our planting, being buried, the old man of sin is crucified by the blood of Christ, and we arise a new creature, living for Christ." You suppose Paul might have said anything about that when he was speaking to Lydia? I believe he did. And I'm convinced he did because of her response. In Acts chapter 8, when the Bible says that Philip spoke about Jesus, began at the same place with the Ethiopian, and preached unto him Jesus, I think he used the same material that Paul used here. Because the eunuch asked what question? "Well, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? When he preached Jesus, it appears to me that he must have mentioned baptism, because that was the eunuch's response. When here he spoke these things to Lydia, she, in response to the things Paul spoke and God opened her heart, she was baptized for the remission of sins. And then she begged them to go home with her and to share in her fellowship. A wonderful story of conversion about a woman who loved God but didn't know how to truly worship Him. When these four men spoke unto her and the others were there about Christ, and then Paul took the lead and spoke things to her, she responded by being baptized, just like they did on the day of Pentecost, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did, just like Paul himself when he was Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16. "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Do you know why they all did the same thing? Because they all heard the same message. They all heard the same message about God and Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I ask you tonight, you've heard that message. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Lydia understood that, and she obeyed. I ask you tonight, will you obey? Will you believe, repent, confess Christ as the Savior, be buried with your Lord in baptism, where that old man of sin is crucified, and then arise a new creature, and the Lord will add you to the church. And then if we fail, when we fail, we have the avenue of prayer and repentance, that we can be made clean again. If you're a member of the body of Christ and there's something in your life that stains you and you need to be made clean again, we ask you to let us know while we stand and sing.